The time has come, the walrus said, to talk of many things. Hello. Welcome to Exposing the Masters Within, the one and only hour on radio or the internet dedicated solely to helping you expose yourself. My name is John Schulte. I'm here to serve you, to help you to know more of the truth about you. It's often said, looks can be deceiving. And we all know that the surface of things is, by definition, shallow. So thanks for joining me today as we journey through the looking glass to explore what's on the other side, to explore what's beneath the surface. We're here together to discover, uncover, and recover our masters within. You knew your mastery much more fully when you signed up for your on-earth sojourn. But you mostly forgot it soon after leaving the cozy confines of your mother's womb. You've rediscovered some inkling of it, or you wouldn't be listening to me now. So, it's time to remember the masters we are. It's time to reclaim the power we have. It's time for Exposing the Masters Within. Let's get started.
Today is Sunday, August 5th, 2012, for those listening live, and whatever time it might be and place and day, if you're listening to the recording, welcome. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for helping to co-create this. So as we step in here, let's make that co-creation as conscious as possible. And to begin with that, I don't know why I'm saying this, for those of you who might be new today, listening to the first program, for the first time anyway, what we start with is to connect within, connect up with our own divinity as fully as we are able. So whatever way that works for you, many people go into the heart, solar plexus, dantian, third eye, crown, or whatever else might work. And what you're seeking to do is set your intention firmly, resolutely, that you are choosing to open into the most complete experience of your divinity you can have right now. You're opening up that door to let your mastery out. Soul, higher self, think of it, whatever term works for you. But that's what you're breathing into. That's what you're allowing to come more into your conscious experience. All right. And so knowing that that's going to stay with us throughout this program, throughout this co-creation, we're going to move on to the next connection and open up the connections to our Mother Earth. And in this case, it is about, for me, I find it easiest to go through my feet chakras, but use your root, use your whole body, use whatever works for you. And what we're opening to is allowing the support and the love from the Mother Earth to come up into us so that we can receive that support, receive that love, receive those energies. And just allowing that to come up, breathing into that, receiving it. Actively receiving it is about not just allowing something to happen, but embracing it as it does. And as we do that, we can also focus our gratitude and send our gratitude back down into the earth. Send our gratitude for having the opportunity to have a body right now and be in these experiences. Sending our love down into the earth, our love of being in a body, of having the experiences we're having. Even as we might be in negative emotion at times, negative experiences, I've heard this multiple pathways, my own channeling, but lots of others. What an honor it is to be in body, to be able to be here, especially in this transitory time on the planet, this time of change. And just let that gratitude and love flow down into the earth. And again, any degree of support that you might be willing to offer doesn't mean you have to label that, but just allow that energy to flow. And as we allow that gratitude and love and support to flow back down, we open up more space to be able to receive more of her love and support coming up to us. Just let yourself feel that flow, feel that wash of energy, that exchange of energy in whatever way you do. And let's open up the next set of pathways. And this is to the so-called spiritual realms, although as far as I'm concerned, everything is a spiritual realm, including the physical, emotional, and mental dimensions. But those who are not in physical body at this time, those who are not incarnate, the angels, our spirit guides, our master teachers, etc., the ascended masters. And again, opening up from whatever place within your energy field feels appropriate, heart, third eye, crown, etc. And once more, opening to receive their support. Make sure you keep breathing while this is happening. Opening to receive their love, their gratitude for us being willing to do this down here, for being the volunteers and the guinea pigs for this transformation on planet Earth, of planet Earth at this time. And once more, as with our Mother Earth, allow your own gratitude to flow back to them. Thanksgiving for all that they, all the support and love they're giving us. And allow your own love to go back to whatever degree that's able. You don't have to force it. You don't have to try to love them. It's about opening up to allow it out of you to flow. And allowing yourself to feel safe. And that's part of the reason we open to receive energies first, is that we can feel that sense of safety that comes from the love and support of our guides and angels, of Mother Earth, of our own divinity. And that allows us to open further to share in this exchange of relationship. And again, same thing. Support. Your willingness to support what they are helping to co-create on the planet right now. To whatever degree that is, it doesn't matter how much it is. It's just about connecting in with that willingness within yourself to open up and to offer your energy. I know lots of people who are on this path and they feel a strong connection to the angelic kingdom or to the ascended masters or to the spiritual hierarchy. And you may have a conscious awareness of particular groups like that that you're most strongly connected to. But another way to look at it is that you're offering this service, this willingness to spirit writ large, the great spirit, the all divinity, which you are a part of. So this is not just about serving those beings out there, those disincarnates. It's about serving yourself as a divine being. So allow to open up that way. And let's make the next opportunity, take the next opportunity, make the next connection. Let yourself breathe a little. And this connection is out to this community, the community of those of us co-creating the program together. I'm allowing the voice to come through me. I'm allowing the energy, the information to come through, but I'm certainly not the one creating it by myself. We're doing it together out of this connected consciousness that we share. And so at this point, this connection is to all those who will ever hear this particular program, whether they're listening live or whether they're listening to the recording. It's connecting all of us together in this moment. And open yourself to receive whatever degree of that shared support you're willing and able to receive at this time. And understand that that is the energy of this shared community, the shared vision, the shared intention of opening up to expose and to express our mastery, to expose and express our divinity. And again, that image that seems to just keep repeating for me, that image of the geese flying in that V, they spend less energy of their own personal energy by flying in that V than they do if they were to make the same flight their own. And that's the same thing. By sharing the energies, we have to exert less energy. By coming into community, we have energy to draw from the community that is greater than the energy we give to the community. And so allow yourself to feel that support. And to whatever degree you're willing, to a degree you're willing just by listening here, you're part of the community. This is about taking it a little further and saying, I choose to consciously offer my energy into that mass consciousness that we're creating. And remember, it's not your personal energy, it's your divine energy where we started that first connection, that divine energy flowing up through you. So you're not sacrificing your own personal energy. You're allowing your divine energy to flow into this co-creation. And so allow yourself to flow in that way, to offer your energy out, and that's energy of support. It is energy of love. It's acceptance. Acceptance of those others who share this vision of choosing to step into greater empowerment, of choosing to awaken. And again, gratitude for the support, whatever that might be, that you are allowing yourself to receive, allow your gratitude to flow back out. That also adds to the energy that we share as a group. And breathe that in deeply, breathe that exchange in, and all these energies will continue to flow throughout this co-creation. Remember that as we go forward here. And now we step out into connecting to the larger group that is all the light workers on the planet, that is actually all of humanity. And we can divide that in one way, and that is specifically those who are conscious light workers, who are consciously seeking empowerment, and those who are only perhaps doing that intuitively or instinctually, although that may be by program and pattern rather than what might be defined as instinct. But in any case, everyone is seeking for a better life. Those who are conscious light workers are moving toward enlightenment or empowerment, and making active choices from whatever vision they have of what that looks like. In any case, it is that mass energy of all of humanity to seek an individual life and a world that is more connected, that is better somehow, that we're sharing. We're connecting with that community and drawing energy from it and feeding energy back into it. And so again, it's opening to receive the support of that shared energy of seeking that which is better. Now, additionally, in the conscious light workers, there is more energy of the firmly held knowing that it is better, that there is better to connect with. And so it's connecting with that intentionality and experience of the better and allowing that to come in as well, to enhance, to expand your own knowingness of that. All right. And once more, your own divine energy is flowing back into this mass consciousness. It can't be stopped. By being in body, we're part of this mass consciousness, whether we want to be or not. The only question is, how consciously do we choose to participate, and how much do we allow the mass consciousness to push us around? Empowerment is about stepping into connecting consciously rather than in victimhood. And so allow yourself to consciously choose to receive that support of the shared human energy and consciously give support back to that, and gratitude for both. All right. And I would thank you for all of that work you just did. You didn't know you were working necessarily, but you were. We were building an energy together. And it's an energy today that I'm not sure where it's going to go. I came in here with less awareness of what I was going to talk about than I think I've ever had before on any single show. And what occurred to me sometime in the original, that introduction, that portion before I say the date, was the word uncertainty, because it seemed to fit both what I was feeling and the topic that needed to be talked about. And it's an interesting topic for me, because for any of you who have had much to do with me, whether it's through the radio program, whether it's through any of the channeling or any of the classes I might have done, or just talking, it may or may not be clear to you, but those who know me the best know that, well, I tend to talk off, depending on who you would talk to, which one of those people, I talk off the top of my head or out of my ass, one or the other. and so I feel fairly comfortable with just being in the flow, being in that energy of uncertainty, of not knowing what's going to come out of my mouth next, of not knowing what is, well, I'm not planning this program. I don't sit down and have the outline and create that. And it's one of those things, and I probably mentioned this before on the program and other episodes, it's one of those things that I believe I've been told, and it resonates for me, so I believe, that's what I mean when I say that, in this case, that I am here partially to share the vibration of trust, because that's who I am. I tend to trust when a lot of other people don't, in circumstances that range across human experience. It's not that I live in hope. There's a big difference. Hope says maybe it's going to be okay. Maybe. And in many cases, hope is that desperate praying to God, please fix this. In some of the stereotypes of religion and prayers, it's, I'm unworthy, but please do this for me anyway. And it's praying for divine intervention. And that's not where I'm coming from. And there's a degree to which, why do I offer this? Well, I'm telling you this because I don't know how to teach trust in the sense that I never had to learn it. This is just simply a part of the package, at least as long as I've been on a conscious path of awareness or a conscious path of seeking. It's like when I was 12 and I knew that the Catholics didn't know what the hell they were talking about, and I simply walked out after that particular day in church and knew that I was no longer Catholic. They don't know what the hell they're talking about. I'm not part of that. And I knew that, and I trusted that inner knowing. And I didn't trust other people's response to that, which is why I spent so many years pretending to go to Mass, leaving the house every Sunday and coming back an hour later and letting the assumption be that I had gone to Mass. But I trusted in the knowing, and I trusted that even though I might be or appear to be a hypocrite to others because I pretended to go, I wasn't being a hypocrite to myself by going when I knew it wasn't the right thing for me. And I hope that makes sense. It certainly does where I'm sitting. But that's part of this for me, this energy of trust. It's just there. And I can't say that I've never made a decision that I've regretted out of that trust. But the regret in hindsight comes from not knowing the outcome. And at this point on my path, I do trust that every one of those outcomes, no matter how bad they have felt at the time, has been the right next step on my path to get me where I am right now. And yet, there have been a lot of those experiences that I regret having to have gone through. I mean, I'm not sitting in judgment on myself. That's not what I mean. It's, I wish I hadn't had to feel that pain. I wish I hadn't had to be in the experience with the other person where they felt that pain because of what I had done. And yet that trust underlies it. And this, in many ways for me, is the crux of uncertainty. It's that we don't have enough information ever to make a decision and know what the outcome is going to be. That's what free will means. At least that's part of what free will means. If we actually knew what the outcome was going to be of any and every decision we could possibly make, would it even be free will anymore? Or would we be in the logical body trying to add up the pluses and the minuses and make the choice that made the most sense? And I'm not saying that we don't still try to do that. that's so far even a stereotypical thing out there where, well, I'm going to make a decision. I'm going to make those two columns on the page and add all the cons and the pros. Write them all down. And then I'll know what to do. No. No. That's the starting point. That's a mental approach to it. It's not bad. But if that's the only thing that we're using, then we might as well be a computer, because that's what computers do. They compute. They add up the pluses and minuses, or the ones and zeros if we're actually talking computerese. And to me, that's not free will. And that's part of the magic of being in body. Not only do we not know what we're doing as we're trying to make our decisions, because we don't know the ultimate outcome, we know even less about what everybody else is doing and the choices that they're making and how their choices are also going to interact with our choices and co-create this unknown experience. This unknown. And that's, depending upon where we're at in a given moment, either exciting or terrifying. Because it's not that our choices don't have effect. It's not that they don't make a difference. It's that they typically, 99.99% of the time, don't make the difference we think they're going to make, or that we hope they're going to make, or that we trust they're going to make. And so it's not that it's a complete crapshoot. We do have some history behind us that we are using as we're going through and creating the pluses or minuses. Or we do, again, even if that's not mental pluses and minuses, it might be emotional. It might be emotional. This doesn't feel good to me, so I'm not going to do it. Or this does feel good to me, so I am going to do it, etc. But those are all based on past experiences. And empowerment, it's not that it throws that out completely, but it transcends that. It goes into the place where we are receiving the information from our three bodies, from the physical body, the five senses, from the emotional body, all of our past history and experiences and patterns emotionally, from the mental body, all the logic about the whole thing. But empowerment is about not letting any of those levels have the final word, but about seeking alignment between them so that we can allow the divinity to come forth and create an experience of knowing that this is the right choice. Now, again, right choice does not mean it's going to result in happiness. Right choice does not mean that it's going to result in what we think it's going to mean. It just means that it is the perfect choice for us in this moment, and we know it consciously. We're making the choice consciously. Now, from a purely metaphysical standpoint, as far as I'm concerned, there's no such thing as ever having made a wrong choice. Every choice we've made is the best that we could under the circumstances with that analysis going on from our mental body, with the past experiences of our emotional body, etc. I deeply, deeply believe that. We have never made, none of us have ever made wrong choices. Ever. We have made choices that have had negative consequences. There is a big difference. A big difference. The idea of a wrong choice is embedded in the idea of good and evil. I've asked, and they've asked, the beings that I channel have asked in tons of sessions with people. And so, play along if you're willing. This question: when was the last time that you consciously chose to do something specifically to harm someone else? that was the reason that you chose to do something. And most people are at a loss by the question. They can't come up with something. Sometimes people do. They come up with what they think is a valid answer. But here is the response that comes in the channeling. And again, you may be the exception. Maybe you have made that choice. I seriously doubt it. But when someone does come up with an answer, when they actually can think of a time when they think that they did this just to hurt someone else, what's brought back to them is the idea that the reason you're trying to hurt the other person in that particular circumstance is to feel better about yourself, to feel some semblance of power or control or something else in your life. It is not that your only purpose or even your primary purpose was to hurt the other person. It was to feel better yourself. And again, that is a big piece of the underlying emotional hardware that we tend to experience. How much of our world is based on trying to put others in their place? And I don't mean your world personally. I mean our world writ large, our culture, the culture of celebrity, the culture of crashing celebrity, the culture of trashing politicians. And, well, they may deserve it. I don't know. The culture of putting someone on a pedestal only to knock them off it. And it happens over and over and over again because, again, we're trying to find our own approval. We're trying to find our own value. And so what better way to do that than to see someone else and go, ah, that person is worse than me in this way. And so the gossip columns and the gossip rags, so to speak, in the blogosphere is full of infidelity. And it is full of lies and cheating and all kinds of horrible things that we can judge other people about so that we can feel better about ourselves. And that also is part of this uncertainty. We're uncertain of our station. We're uncertain of our value. And that's another piece of the underlying aspect of uncertainty, is that seeking our value, seeking the experience of our worthiness, is an ongoing thing. Because we can never know our value through what we do. Never. It lasts temporarily at all. We have a flush of success and feeling good about some accomplishment, and then it goes away as we go back to that human pattern of focusing on what else is wrong, what else needs to be fixed, what else do we need to change. And that's this uncertainty. We are not holding on to our value based on what we do. Based on what we do. And so there's always something else to do to prove our value. And the only way to get off that wheel is to seek the experience of our value from our divinity, from within ourselves, which is not based on our doing. And that's what this is about as well. When we are making our decisions, our choices, and we are trying to do that in free will, and we're trying to do the best choice for many of us, it's the best spiritual choice. What's the highest choice for me? And presumably, the highest choice is what's going to have the most growth, or what's going to have the greatest benefit, or what's going to be in the highest service. Multiple ways to look at what highest might be defined as. But ultimately, it is some definition we're imposing. We're already divine. We are not here to earn brownie points with God by doing good works. I'm not here to say don't do good works. In fact, it's our nature. The more we step into our divinity, the more we see the divinity in others, and the more compassion comes through us to others, and the more good works we do. I believe that's an inevitable part of the process of self-empowerment. But we're not doing it in that way because we think we should, because God's watching us. or because our neighbor's watching us, or because our partner's watching us, or because our friends are watching us. We're not doing it to gain approval and gain value that way. And that's another piece of the uncertainty as well, is that we never know, as we are making a choice, what the eventual effect is going to be on how other people perceive us. We don't know. We don't know. I don't know about you, but I've had plenty of experiences in the past where people projected some idea onto my actions that had nothing to do with my conscious process of choosing to take those actions. I've been accused of things. Have you been accused of things? Again, that's that uncertainty. It's everywhere. Uncertainty is with us in every single moment. You hear the cliche, well, live this day as if it's your last because you could be dead tomorrow. Or you never know, you could get hit by a bus. And those sorts of things, they're cliches, and on some level they might even be funny. But they're also true. Uncertainty. We don't know what's coming in advance. That's the nature of this linear time flow that we're in. And even the most psychic among us, who are able to connect in with the probability lines of energy and have any degree of accuracy in predicting what things are going to come, even those most able to do that cannot do that 100% accurately, or down to the nitty-gritty details of every person's everyday life. And that's uncertainty, which is another one of the reasons why we come back around to being in the moment. Because we can't know what's coming. The best we can do is be as fully present as possible in this particular moment. And again, that's the uncertainty. We don't know what the moment is. For instance, I don't take the precaution of turning off the phone before I start doing this program. And so over the 61 or 62 program episodes I've done so far, the phone has rung, I believe, at least twice while the program was going on. Now, you may not hear that out there. You may not have noticed that, even if you've listened to every single minute of every single program so far. But it's in here, and it's rather jarring when I'm on a roll, when I'm in that flow, when I'm allowing the uncertainty to flow through me to become what is, which is essentially what I believe we're all doing all of the time to a greater or lesser degree. And that's the question. When I'm doing one of these programs, I'm doing it to a greater degree. And that's partly because I have access to this larger group energy, and specifically the energy of this community who are here listening and co-creating consciously with me. It's not that I'm not getting energy from the guides and angels. I am, and certainly especially when I'm doing the channeled portion at the end. It's not that I'm not getting energy from the earth. I am, but the specific focus is this group. We're getting together for the specific purpose of having these words come out on a given day. And that is a beautiful way to use the mass consciousness. And it allows me to be more in that energy of uncertainty and allowing the flow of the moment than in my everyday life. Now, again, as I said, and I don't know why this is, my conscious mind does not know why this is, but for whatever reason, I came in, and I came in with this energy of trust. Whether that was the original soul and it's part of the blueprint of the physical body and the whole energy field, whether that was one of the two walk-ins brought it in and anchored it here, I don't know. I don't know. Whether that was something that I developed as a defense mechanism from being in some very uncertain situations being molested, I don't know. Maybe that's what I came up with afterwards, going, well, even when the worst was happening to me, it turned out all right. So maybe I can extrapolate that and put that out as my belief about what's going to happen in the world. I don't know. I'm not sure where it came from. I know it's here. But the point is, it's more here. I'm more able to be with it. I'm more able to flow with that trust in a given moment when I'm connecting with a group than I do on my own. And I think that is a huge piece of the shift that is taking place right now on the planet, at least the opportunity that's being given to us in in a variety of visions that people have of what's going to happen after the ascension, or after December 21st, 2012, or after the rapture, or after whatever, is this idea that it is going to be a world in which there is more cooperation, more congeniality, more ease and less struggle, less fear. Well, possibly. Possibly. I don't know. I don't know what it's going to look like. I have my personal thoughts, but I don't know. That's the uncertainty. And how many of us are trying to hold on to what that vision is? Figure it out so we can hold on to it. And granted, I understand using a vision to manifest toward. This is the world I'd like to live in. So I'm going to hold this vision and I'm going to send energy to it. But the uncertainty principle says, and maybe not the scientific uncertainty principle, but the uncertainty principle I'm talking about says that we can't know that that's what we're going to manifest, because we're not manifesting it by ourselves. We're manifesting it in this sea of energy that is the energy of the entire planet. We're manifesting it in the energy, in the sea of energy that is all of humanity. And no one of us can shape that by ourselves completely. And so I believe that a big piece of what's happening is the opportunity to learn to co-create more consciously. Not just to create more consciously, meaning using our individual free will, but using the power of the collective more consciously as well. Using the power of coming together in groups as well, magnifying our own energy and our own efforts through and with the energy of others. Which, again, goes back to what they gave me and then evolved as the beginning of this program. That's exactly what that's about. And every other group that I do, especially every other channeling group that I do, I have a different kind, a different invocation, but it's essentially do the same thing. It's to connect the energies of all the participants so that what is being created is coming through within and from the energies of everyone there. So I don't have to shoulder the load by myself, because I don't want to be the sacrificial lamb. I don't want to be doing this here for everyone else. I want to be doing it with everyone else. And that, to me, is one of the biggest differences that I would label as what I desire in that world to come. That it's consciously co-created. We are doing it with each other, not because we have to, not because we are stuck together, which, again, is one of the things I love about doing this program and doing the other groups that I offer, is that it's self-selecting. Nobody's being forced to listen to this. Well, hopefully not. If you're out there being forced to listen to this, you have my permission to go. nobody's being forced to come to my groups. It's consciously, it's a group of people consciously coming together to co-create an experience of moving into greater empowerment. And that is the world that I would seek to create. And that actually is why I even do this in the first place. Do this program, do the channeling, do the groups, do the classes, any of it, is to move into that world more fully. And I don't believe in the light switch version, December 21st, 2012, poof, and the next day everyone wakes up singing. And it's a Hollywood musical after that, from then on in the golden age. It would be nice. Actually, I don't know. That might be really annoying. Some people can't sing very well. But I believe that is the way that we're moving. It's the opportunity that we have. But what it's going to look like, how it's going to be shaped, and what I or you or any of us can do to maximize that flow in that direction, well, we're right back to the uncertainty principle. I know the few things that I am doing. I know I'm doing this program pretty much every Sunday when I'm not away. I know that I'm doing a full moon group every full moon. I know that I'm offering private sessions I'm offering. And I'm having the conversations in the moment that I'm sharing with friends and clients, etc. But I don't know the result of a single one of those things in advance. And quite frankly, I don't necessarily know the result in hindsight, which is one of the reasons why I ask you guys to send me emails or give me a call. Let me know what you think about this. It's not because I'm trying to feed my ego. It's because I am seeking the connection to that shared energy. And the more consciously I know what's going on out in what you guys are doing, the more I can let down even further into the trust and the flow of the uncertainty. It's why I do call for ideas and questions, comments from you guys. Not because every one of them is immediately going to get turned around and put into the next week's program, but because they get fed into the data banks consciously and percolate around in there until it's time for them to come back out. There's no such thing, and I've said this to anyone, well, not anyone, many of the people who've come to me for sessions or groups. There's no such thing as a bad question. There's no such thing as a wrong question. It doesn't mean it's going to get answered by spirit, and especially it doesn't mean it's going to get answered in the particular timing we might want it to get answered. But there's no such thing as a bad one or a wrong one. And so that's part of this as well. And again, I don't mean to put pressure on you to write to me, send me questions or comments. That's not it either. You're doing your part. You're sharing your energy. When the energy is shared a little more directly through those comments, through those questions, I can connect with a little more deeply. Because right now, as I'm talking to you, I'm looking out the window. I'm looking at my computer screen. I'm looking over at the air conditioner. I'm watching the post-it notes flap in the wind from the fan. That's the world I'm in physically while this is coming out here. I don't have each of you in the room with me physically directly. I can't read your facial expressions to know what's going on in your experience. I trust that something good is going on, something beneficial, something empowering, or you guys wouldn't keep listening. But that's, again, another piece for me of that principle of uncertainty. I don't know. I can't know what you're getting out of this. And that's okay. I'm going to keep doing it. I'm going to keep showing up. And it will go out wider. It will. It will. The energies keep shifting. And it will. These will be up on my website soon. They didn't make it by the end of July. Yeah. Maybe the end of August. I don't know. that is not a hard and fast deadline. And I will be in the uncertainty with that. Thank you for coming into the uncertainty with me. Because that's what you do every week, whether you knew it or not before today. You show up here, and again, comes off the top of my head or out of my ass, and that's what you get. Hopefully it feels like off the top of my head much better. Hopefully it feels like it's coming out of the crown chakra or out of the heart center. I don't know. But that's my desire for this program, is that it feeds that way rather than coming out of my ass. But I can't predetermine your response. So I'll leave on that note. And again, thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, the next step, and today I don't really have a commercial announcement. I will just say this. August is the 1 month this year that there are two full moons. So the second gateway activation, I believe, is on August 31st. In fact, I'm pretty sure of that. But just want to put that out there. I don't know what the actual activation is going to be, what energies are going to be activated. All right, so let's move on to the channeling and see what they might have to say. And so, as always, allow your breathing to deepen. And I'll do the toning to adjust the frequencies to allow them to come in. Hello, dear ones. We are the Hathors, come to be with you today. Welcome. For those of you who do not know, we concern ourselves with using sound to create transformation, to create activation, to create healing. And so we are not here primarily to speak to you, but to sing to you. And so we would ask you to open yourself into the receiving of what you need, of what you need. Because while we are singing to the collective who will hear this, we are also singing to the individuals who will hear this. We are singing to you specifically. And it is to aid you in this awakening of your power, to aid you in your expansion of your awareness, to aid you in your cessation, in your completing those patterns that you are done with and letting them go. And so open in those intentions to increase empowerment and awareness and completion. Oh. The more that you know you are loved, the more you can live the song that is your soul and allow it to express the song that is in your heart. Namaste, dear ones. Okay. Thank you to the Hathors. Thank you again to each of you. And I won't reiterate today, in this moment, after all of that discussion, my usual request for your feedback. But I will thank you for all of your energy. And I will express my desire to join you again next week in co-creating together. It is my pleasure. It is my honor to have you here with me. Even though I don't see your face, even though I don't feel your body in the room, your energy is here. And I thank you for that. So, Doug, if you will, start those chimes whenever you're ready. I do intend to be back same time, same place next week. Of course, uncertainty says I can't know for sure. But even if I'm not here, if the station is on the air, which I presume they will be, but uncertainty says I can't know, then there will be a program playing at this time. So thank you, thank you, thank you. I wish you all a wonderful, wonderful week. Much love, my friends. Namaste.